Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. We already have in the morning a very wonderful service in which our missionary, our brother Carlos, have brought the Word of God so well, and the people have praised you, and the young people have not only celebrated, but rejoiced my heart so greatly. But Father, tonight we want to especially dedicate this night to you and thanksgiving, because Israel was waiting for that Messiah for so long. And the hope of every prophet of Israel was the Messiah Jesus. And so, Father, tonight we want to celebrate the arrival of that great Savior, the one who is a personal Savior in our hearts. So bless the choir and those who are acting also with the choir, so that our heart may rejoice in the fact that indeed we do believe that Jesus took our place on Calvary's cross. Lord, bless us in the few moments that we're going to praise you and celebrate these wonders of Christmas. And may each one of us have the joy of the Lord in our heart in spite of circumstances. Once again, may this meeting be a blessing to all of us, those who are here and those who are listening via the internet. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you turn the hymn books to number 100 now, please? O come, all ye faithful. That's another wonderful song. Number 100 in the hymn book, please. Christmas song, but it's what the missionary have mentioned this morning in his sermon on his second coming. Jesus will not come any longer as a baby, but as a king. And we have right here a song that is my favorite, number one, Oh Worship the King. Let's sing the first and last stanza of number one, Oh Worship the King. It's a very wonderful and remarkable song expressing our real wonders of that baby, now King of Israel and King in our heart.
Yeah.
They said defender, redeemer, and friend.
We're calling God
our friend.
All right.
Listen to the last stanza once again on the scene. Introductions and any more songs, we turn the whole service to our wonderful choir director, Marilyn Doolittle.
Find a seat by the fireside. Oh, the night wind penetrates the silk. Back east we rarely see winter nights so cold. Ah, food, my girl. Now then, I will ask a question. May I borrow your eyesight for a time?
I have work to do downstairs, Your Grace. But I'll come back for you whenever you wish.
Nonsense! What would the innkeeper think if you left a guest on the rooftop alone? He would not wish you to do such disservice to a foreign dignitary, would he?
I'll stay with you a little while.
Ah, good. Now then, would you set my right hand towards the North Star, please?
That one I know.
Yes, my girl. The Pole Star is a most valuable star if you will navigate your way in the world. Now tell me what you see there in the western sky.
I do not know the names, Your Grace.
For shame! I shall teach you the names during the days of my visit. We shall hold night lessons, and I will teach you the names of the constellations. That one, my girl, very low in the sky, is the Northern Crown. Can you make an ox shape such as this? Mix into a crown.
I see only an ocean of black, inlaid with sparkling diamonds. The same as ever.
Same as ever, yes. But tell me, this is very important. Is there a bright blue star, twice the size and brightness of all the others, hovering over our heads?
No, Your Grace. There's none brighter than the rest.
Sad. I thought if I... But it is not to be. All my other old friends are faithful. All but one return each night. All but the precious one. My lost star. It was the most miraculous sight these eyes have ever seen. Tracking westward every night. Leading us on our way.
I'm sorry, Your Grace, but it is very cold out. Even right by the fire. Shouldn't we go back down to the inn?
If you cannot brave the night air to study the great library of the stars, what kind of an astronomer will you become, my girl?
A warm one? By the fire?
What is your name, child?
Esther, sir.
Esther. I like that. When I made my first pilgrimage here in the days of my youth, Esther, I heard one of your scrolls read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language
where the voice is not heard."
Ah, you know it then.
It's a Psalm of David, and Bethlehem is a city of David.
And now you know why it is so important to understand the stars. I knew when I heard those words, I must set them to heart. I felt that they were written for me.
There are other scriptures I could tell you of, Your Grace. Even more precious to me, but not here. Not now. It is dangerous to speak freely of certain scriptures. But if you're willing, I can take it to the elder in Jerusalem, who can show you all the treasures of God's word.
Only the Psalm of the Heavens captures my heart. I feel closer to the lost star tonight than I have in many years. It never dims before my mind's eye. At sunset it first appeared, a twilight like all the others, and then suddenly, there in an unfamiliar sector of sky, a new star brilliantly shining where one never was before. My brothers and I, we followed the star until we came to this place. And here we found the young child who was born to be king.
So
one of the wise men of the East. I've heard that story all my life. How great men traveled here from far away when Jesus the Christ, that is, when the Messiah was born. But I hardly believe the story. It sounded so magical.
Great men, you say?
Yes, rich men, with a caravan of camels as far as the eye could see, and horses pulling golden chariots. Their names were Balthazar, Melchior,
and Caspar. That's me.
You were one of the wise men? Did you ride in a chariot of gold?
There were chariots, but not of gold, and many camels, but not as far as the eye could see. This is, how do you say, an exaggeration.
Your Grace, could you, that is, did you see him?
I did.
You saw the face of Jesus?
I held him on my lap. Close crop of hair covering his tiny head, serious dark eyes, tiny hand outstretched towards my beard. So close I could see the tiny patterns of ridges in his palm. Amazing. But no more amazing than other children. All of life is a miracle from God, child. We knelt before him and placed our gifts at his feet and looked on in silent wonder. And oh, we were glad at heart, my brothers and I. Glad for the star that had led us to the king. A chain of fine gold in the basket of gifts. Finest gold.
Your Grace, is that like the one you gave him?
Very like it, yes. I thought, I hoped if I came back to Bethlehem, I might see him again. Grown man now, of course. Nearly 40 years old he'd be. I thought if I came back, I might see him, and I would worship him with finest gifts once more.
Oh, but Your Grace...
That is why I have come. We traveled back home to the East with such haste on our last visit. But this time, I will spend much time with him. The king whose birth was announced in the heavens must be of supreme importance. I never again expected to see the great star of the king. But when I find him, I will talk a long time with him. And there will be gladness in my heart once again.
Your Grace, there's someone coming. There's so much I must tell you about the king, but I cannot tell you now.
Your voice is afraid, child.
Please, don't mention what you spoke of. The man is at the roof.
Child, but why are you afraid?
Please, Your Grace, please.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, friend.
Oh, the wind is even colder up here than it is in the street.
It is. We came up to study the stars.
Stars? If you don't mind my asking, how can a blind man study the stars?
Good question. Actually, this good servant girl was studying the stars for an old wise man, and I was teaching her the names of the constellations.
You're not from around here, are you?
I'm from Persia.
What part?
Due east of the city, a fortnight's journey on camel.
Oh, so those are your camels down at the stable?
Yes, they are.
Fine-looking animals. May I ask what brought you so far?
Well, I actually came to see an old acquaintance.
In Bethlehem? I probably know him. I know most families between here and Jerusalem. I sell fruit, so I get to know people all over. What's the name?
This one was born almost 40 years ago. I doubt you'd know him.
The name?
His name is... Well, his name is Jesus. Do you know the name?
Shh! Where do you think you are, old man? How dare you speak that name? Listen, I don't want trouble more than anyone else, but some things can't be ignored. Let me tell you, Persian, this is for your own good. Don't let that name come out of your mouth again while you're here in Judea. Does that make clear enough sense to you?
But I do not understand.
Well, maybe you can understand this. I personally saw a man stoned to death not 5 miles from this very spot because he was stirring up things in the public marketplace about the one whose name must not be spoken.
Stoned to death?
As sure as I'm standing here. Now, maybe you haven't kept up with events, or maybe you know more than you're letting on, but understand this is Judea. Jews have been living here for thousands of years, and we don't take kindly to public blasphemers of our God. Does that make clear enough sense to you?
I did not mean to make you angry. I am sorry for the offense.
Well, apology accepted. Listen, in my business, I have to get along with all sorts. I don't want to bring you trouble. I'll leave it at that. But steer clear of the crowd who followed the Nazarene. Will you do that?
I will.
It's cold out. I'll say my prayers and go down.
Your prayers?
Every devout man I know prays daily for the peace of Judea. That will be the day when the Messiah truly comes, as the Torah foretells. Then we will all be living in peace. That is the reason I spoke so strongly of the prophet who shall not be named. If he had been the Messiah, we would all be living in peace and the Romans would be gone. But there is no peace in Judea. Not yet. Someday he will come. Someday he must come and set up his kingdom on earth. That is the day I await. Is there a cup of water up here?
Yes, I'll go get some for you.
How long do you think it will be before the Messiah comes?
We've been praying for thousands of years. Each year it doesn't seem as though the world could get any worse. But then each new Roman governor discovers some new way to dominate and control our lives. It can't go on forever. It's always darkest just before the dawn. He may come tomorrow.
Sir, the water is frozen solid. I can't break the surface.
Just as well. I'll draw from the jars downstairs. Good night to you.
Good night to you as well.
A word to the wise, Persian. Forget you ever heard of the one whose name must not be spoken. You'll have a much smoother visit in Judea.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
I, too, am a Jew.
Yes.
What must we be willing to do for him when Messiah comes to reign?
Why, anything he commands. He will be the sent one, the promised one of Jehovah. He will rule with a rod of iron, and we will all serve him.
But what if, when Messiah comes to reign, it costs us something to obey? What if it were dangerous to serve Messiah?
When the King of Israel comes, I would gladly lay down my life for him, and every devout man I know would do the same. He shall be my king.
I agree with you. I know what I have to do. I'm sorry, Lord Caspar.
What do you mean?
Child, what are you...
I can't stand here and deny my Lord, or act as though I haven't heard what you said. The Messiah has come. He is Jesus the Christ, and I have put my faith in him.
So that's it, is it? That's why you two are up here where decent folk can't hear your talk. You say you're a Jew, and you're not! You're a traitor to your own people and a fool to throw your life away on a false prophet. Blasphemer, your words will cost you something. That's certain. The innkeeper will hear what you've just said, and tomorrow you'll be out in the street. And you, old man, here's a warning to you. Beware lest the blind lead the blind to destruction.
Child, why did you speak so openly when you knew what he had threatened?
You say you come to seek the king. Well, he is my king. I had no choice. Our prophet Daniel wrote of the stars, a passage you might also wish to learn. And they that be wise shall shine in the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. May I be wise, O Lord, to do thy perfect will. Though harm may come my way, may I be faithful still. Illuminate my mind with wisdom from above, that I may walk aright and understand thy law. May
Tell me, child. Where is your king now? Is he in Jerusalem?
Jesus has returned to his father's house, Lord Caspar. And he told those who followed him that in his father's house are many mansions. He said he was going to prepare a place for us.
Child, you speak in mysteries. Tell me where the home of this king is, that I may go and worship him there.
Lord Caspar, the baby you saw almost 40 years ago, that baby was not just the king of the Jews. He was the Son of God. And that's where he has returned, to his father's house in heaven.
You mean he is dead?
7 years ago in Jerusalem, he died.
But I do not understand. How could this be? And why did he have to die so young?
Roman soldiers took him and tortured him. They mocked on him and spat on him. Then they hung him on a cross for all to see. He died on a hill called the Place of the Skull.
He was executed as a criminal?
Yes, but they found him innocent. He never did anything wrong.
How could Romans allow such injustice?
The temple leaders hated him. Just like the merchant, they called him a blasphemer. But he never stopped being the light of the world. Even on the cross where they put him to die, Jesus asked God to forgive the ones who put him there. Jesus said that God loved the world so much that anybody who believes on him, they won't be punished for their sins, but instead they'll have everlasting life. That's what Jesus came to do, to give the greatest gift that was ever given.
Great, O Lord, is thy forgiveness, mercies wider than the sky. Cleansing love and grace abounding for a sinner such as I.
Then I have not only lost my star forever, but I have also lost him, whose birth the star proclaimed. I should never have come. I've caused you trouble, and I leave here more empty than when I came. I have utterly failed my quest.
Lord Caspar, the cross was the end for Jesus. His enemies wouldn't be so hateful if the cross were all. They wrapped him in spices and buried him, sealed in a new tomb. And Lord Caspar, I've told this 100 times, and I never know how to put it. On the third day, he came back to life again.
What do you mean?
He rose from the grave. I can show you. It's empty to this day. And not only that, he appeared again and again to lots of people, And he told them how they could follow him when he returned to heaven.
And how does one follow him?
You simply admit that you are a sinner. Repent of your sins and believe on Jesus the Christ. You accept that he died on the cross for you.
But I am not a sinner. Heaven is my witness. I have carefully served and followed God from the time I first saw the star to this very day. My religion is my life. I live out my life for others. And mine has been a life of righteousness.
That's not what Jesus said.
I have done what I can to help others from the time I first brought gifts to the child until this very hour. I cannot admit to sin when I know of none in my heart.
Jesus said that there is no one who is righteous.
My child, to say that my life is not enough to merit the favor of God is impossible. I have tried so hard, too hard, to imagine that I could just be a common sinner.
Your Grace, I wish you could have known Jesus and heard him teach about forgiveness and repentance of sins. If Jesus himself were here instead of me, if he had asked you for a great amount of your wealth, would you have given it to him?
I would have given him my all.
If he had asked you to attempt some great sacrificial pilgrimage, you would have attempted it, wouldn't you?
But that is why I have traveled across the desert.
But all he asks of you is that you, a great and wise man, even you, admit that you are in need of a savior, in need of him. If you don't accept the gift of his forgiveness, you reject him. Begging your pardon, Lord Casper, but are you too proud to do what he requires?
But that is not what I came here to do. I came a seeker of the king.
You can go back home a follower of the king. Didn't you believe me when I told you about his death and how he rose again?
I cannot doubt what you say of Jesus. You have risked so much to tell me of him. But this is all so very different from what I had envisioned.
The Savior doesn't want your gold, my lord. He only wants one thing from you, a repentant heart. If you'll bow your heart to him, then one day, Your Grace, you will see the king you came to seek.
I wandered in the dark of night, seeking the newborn king. And when my eyes beheld his star, my heart began to sing. It led me to the holy child, my gifts I freely gave. But all my wisdom and my gold, my soul could never save. My soul could never save.
A humble heart and bended knee shall grace and pardon bring to
selfish pride, seeking to gain reward. Though nothing good had I to give to satisfy the Lord, so in my poor and sinful state I bow before his throne. And in his love and by his grace, he claims me for his own. He claims me for his own.
A humble heart and bended knee have grace and
Esther, that man before, he said to beware lest the blind leave the blind to destruction. But I think it was he who could not see. What can he do to harm you?
He'll probably see to it that I can't work here anymore. But God will provide my need.
Dare we go downstairs to see?
We'll have to sometime soon, or we'll freeze.
Child, I did not find what I expected on my return to Judea. I had hoped that my lost star might be here. It was not. But you were here, child. You shared your simple childlike faith with a blind and failing old man. And for that, I am truly grateful. I want to give you this. From one of the wise men that you never believed could have existed.
For me, Your Grace? No, I can't.
I insist. But hide it well. I imagine our friend would be none too happy if he knew that an old Persian gave a young follower of Christ a gift worth more than all his camels.
I do not know what to say. It is too generous.
It is you who have been generous to me.
My lord, even if I lose my place of service, I will never forget this night. It's a miracle. Now that you have found Christ, a new day has dawned for you, and the day star has risen in your heart.
The day star, child? What do you mean?
Well, that's what the elder in Jerusalem likes to say. Peter's his name. You'd like him, Your Grace. He's fond of saying that whenever a sinner hears the good news of Christ and responds, it's as if a light had shined in a dark place. When you bow your heart to him, a new day dawns for you, and the day star arises in your heart.
The day star?
Yes, Lord Casper. Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. He has risen in your heart.
Then I have found my lost star after all. It is not out there, but here. A star more precious and more permanent than the one these eyes beheld so many years ago.
Treasures will not save you, nor your gifts of greatest price. Christ alone brings full salvation by his precious sacrifice. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Let us worship at the door.
Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord.
They would like to present this to Mrs. Doolittle before we go down to sit. Because she's put up with the choir here and all of us, especially me, goofing around during practices and dropping lines. And yeah, as of yesterday, I finally finished memorizing the script. But anyway, that's not the point is, she's put a lot of hard work in this, and we really want to thank her for that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lost Star. The choir, I don't think I need this, you hear me. The choir has the wonderful presentation on the Lost Star. And you maybe wonder, you were Egyptian, you will not wonder, because you know the university in Alexandria in astronomy teaches that there was a lost star that was found in the constellation. Bernard, a great wise science, has a stable and put that in the record of Egypt. But I want to show you the record of the scripture just briefly so that you know that the choir was not dreaming or the choir director was not creating something out of their own heart. In the Bible, there are two records about Jesus. One is in the Gospel of Matthew and the other is in the Gospel of Luke. I love Matthew because he's a Jew and he writes in a way that is very easy to understand. And in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, he starts recording again the birth of Jesus. He starts giving us a recollection. In chapter 1, he gave us God's view of the birth. And now he brings the story down to earth. And in chapter 2 and in verse 1 said, now, when the Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And then they said, for we have seen his star in the east. There was at one time one more star in the constellation than was supposed to be. There was one more star. And the kings, which were no kings, were science people from Persia, they came studying and searching for that star. Well, let me give you the story of that star. It's very simple. It's only four scriptures that mention that star. So we can go over them. In the book of Numbers, which is the story of Israel, walking through the wilderness in chapter 24 and in verse 17 it is recorded, I see him but not now, I behold him but not near, a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the bow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. And so it was prophesied in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 that a star will come out of Jacob. And a star will come in Jerusalem. It was acknowledged by the Apostle Peter. Nothing is said in the Old Testament. 9,000 years go by and nobody say a word about that star. Then Peter, in 2 Peter, revealed this in chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. In other words, he's referring to Numbers. He said, we have the prophetic word confirmed, 2 Peter 1, 19, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. Peter called that star the morning star. Well, we have a prophecy about the lost star. Then we have the acknowledgement of the lost star. And then Jesus make that star known again. in Revelation chapter 2 to one of the churches in verse 28. In Revelation 2 and in verse 28, this is the third time that the word star concerning Jesus is mentioned. And Jesus make known that star, he says, to those who are faithful to the very end, to those who hold themselves in the church of the living God until the very end. He said these words, and I will give him the morning star. Well, who is it? The Bible declares in the book of Revelation, at the very end, in chapter 22, on the very last chapter of the Bible, and on verse 16, declares that morning star. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Prophesy in the Old Testament, acknowledged by the Apostle Peter, offered by Jesus, and now identified with the person. That is star of the book of Numbers, and nothing more and nothing less than the Lord Jesus. And so I have a $4 million question for you. Have you found the star? Have you found the star? Only your heart can answer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that all of us here in the auditorium and there in the large auditorium of the internet, we pray that we, by the mercy of God, and by the revelation of God, and by the kindness of God, that we may say with a true heart, we have found the morning star. It is in my heart today. If not, Father, help such a one to understand that the only way to receive that morning star is to ask God, have mercy of me, a sinner. Have mercy of me, a sinner. And that morning star will shine again in the heart of people. We thank you for our choir, for the young people. We thank you for the desire to bring to life that star that was lost and was found in the heart of Jesus. Bless us now as we fellowship together. And Father, I pray that this Christmas, in spite of circumstances, in spite of situations in life that are foreign to us and that happen to us, in spite of everything, we pray that our heart is grateful because we celebrate Christmas with a morning star in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. You don't have to go home. In this church,